History Slam podcast from ActiveHistory.ca. Here's your host, Sean Graham.
Thank you, Adam, and welcome to the History Slam, everybody. I am Sean Graham, coming at you today nearly live from Ottawa, Ontario, a city which has one of the top-ranked airports in all of North America, if not the world, which is a nice little feather in the cap of the nation's capital. But for somebody like me, doesn't really do that much because I really don't like to fly. And if you remember our Congress recap podcast we did a couple months ago, I believe it came up on several occasions how I don't really like to fly and how having the conference in Victoria was somewhat problematic for me in that having to confront two cross-country flights in the course of 4 or 5 days was really going to be problematic. So what I decided to do was once the conference was over, I took a ferry from Victoria to Seattle to see a baseball game, and then took a train from Seattle to Vancouver and hopped on the cross-country train from Vancouver to Toronto. And as we traveled, I met some really terrific people, all of whom had different reasons for taking the train and had different opinions on train travel and the meaning of train travel and really the historical significance of the train in Canada. So as we went west to east, decided to talk to some of these folks on the podcast about the meaning of the train and the historical significance of train travel in Canada. First up, we are somewhere between Jasper and Edmonton, closer to Edmonton, about an hour 40 away. Hour out now. Yeah. And we're here with Robin Lambert, originally from Powell River, BC, now living in Red Deer, Alberta. Visual artist, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks.
Why are you traveling today?
I am returning home after actually meeting my father on the train. He lives in Switzerland, and he flew to Montreal, took a train across the country, and an easy way for me to meet him was come up to Edmonton, catch the train out, hang out with him for a couple days, and then catch the train back.
Very nice. And so you're in Vancouver a couple of days and now...
Now returning home.
Heading back. And yeah. You're traveling with your girlfriend.
Yeah.
Who's here?
Yeah.
So the two of you, and what sort of accommodations do you have?
This is the first time I've ever stayed in a train cabin. So we're
staying
in the cabin.
Okay, so in the cabin.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. How'd you come out?
We came out in one of the sleeper bunks.
Oh, in the berths? Yeah.
Yeah, berth. Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah. Yeah.
So which do you prefer?
We were actually talking about that today. We think the berth is perfectly fine for the money difference. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Except for the outlet. I don't get an outlet. I'm in a berth. I don't get an outlet.
That is the one big difference. Yeah. You got to poach it. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I actually used on the way out from the berth, we used the one in the bathroom to charge my phone.
Oh, yeah. I used the one in the middle of the hall to charge my battery on my camera today.
Right. Yeah.
I did
you
got to
poach. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, whatever. I mean, if it's only the berth people who are using them, then so what?
Yeah.
And there's, what's the difference?
You recognize everyone right away.
So. Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, there's we haven't stopped since Jasper, so
right.
someone's going to steal something. I mean, it's going to be on the train, so you're good. So you're a visual artist.
Yeah.
And you say you mentioned that you draw a lot on history.
Yeah.
A little bit for some of your work. So because the train has such a unique place in Canada's history, how would you situate the train? And is there a way that it could influence what you do?
Well, I think one of the things I work with is a lot with community, different interactions with people and things like that. I think the train, I mean, there's the mythology of the train in Canada and how it brought us together as a people, coast to coast and all that sort of stuff, And now that I'm just being on the train, you see how everyone's just kind of hanging out together and talking. Yeah. So for me, I haven't been able to stop thinking about what sort of projects I could do if I was to take the train again, like the next time, what I could maybe sneak in and do a project. I don't know exactly what it would be yet, but there's some definite possibilities with the community that happens just with people traveling. And it's a different sort of travel than the plane. You might get to know the person right beside you, but the train, you're up and you get seated with different people for dinner and you're playing cards with people, and especially if you're on for 3 or 4 days, you're going to get to know your neighbors.
Yeah, well, and especially with a plane, I mean, people seem to be just annoyed on planes.
Earphones on, don't talk to me, please. Stop kicking my chair.
And you can't do that for 3 days.
No.
You can do it for 5 or 6 hours, but you can't do it for 3 days. So what has been the highlight for you, either going out, coming back, favorite part of the trip?
Actually, what happened was my girlfriend and I got to the train station in Edmonton, and we had our boarding pass and everything like that. We were sitting down waiting for the train to come, and the guy called out, is Robin Lambert here? Is Robin Lambert here? I said, yeah, that's me. He's like, you've been upgraded. We were actually gonna stay in economy on the way out here.
Oh wow!
And found out my dad found out he was on the train. We're gonna meet him on the train. He found out that we wouldn't be able to have supper together. So he talked to one of the service managers and got us upgraded. So the kind of highlight was us coming there, kind of expecting we're going to be sleeping overnight in a chair.
Yeah.
And we got upgraded. And then, of course, in Edmonton, we had the reunion. I hadn't seen him in a couple of years.
Right, yeah.
So, yeah, we got to... and then just kind of hanging out with my dad and his wife and my girlfriend. They had never met my girlfriend, so
okay.
The whole way out was kind of like...
Yeah.
Here's 27 hours. Get to know your get to know my parents.
Yeah, that could be a little intimidating.
It was a little for her. Yeah. Yeah, it was a little. Yeah. But it all turned out good in the end. So yeah,
nice.
Yeah,
nice.
Yeah, I think that was just the highlight. Was just kind of that whole like meeting and having fun.
Yeah, and the now you live in Red Deer, so obviously the scenery might not be as unique to you as it would be to someone like me living in Ottawa. But what do you think of that part of the trip?
Well, last summer I drove to Horsefly, BC from Red Deer for a family reunion, and that was okay, but the thing is you're driving and you're focused the whole time. You go over a gorge, you go over a bridge, you gotta keep your eye on the road.
Yeah.
Train, it's just all get up, stand, look around. It's a completely different, it's the best way to see the Rockies, really,
right.
I think. Yeah. Unless you're camping in them, but if you're going to travel through them, it's the best way.
It's very relaxing.
Like
it's And at least for me, too. I mean, like I said, I've done this trip from Saskatoon to Toronto before, but I've never done the Rockies part. I mean, it's stunning.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah.
Some of the and it's parts that you wouldn't get to any other way.
Yeah.
Right? The way that the track is set up. Like, you can't drive there.
No.
You don't see houses. There's like it's like the only way that you can see some of these places.
This is, I think, the sixth time I've gone over the Rockies.
Yeah.
Twice from Toronto all the way to Vancouver, and a few other times just from Alberta back and forth. And each time it's different.
Yeah.
Like sometimes you see Mount Robson, sometimes you don't.
Right.
If you go in the winter, it's frozen waterfalls, which are just as magic, if not more.
Yeah.
Than, yeah. So
it was the Pyramid Falls that we passed. That's
Pyramid
the one
Falls,
I noticed. Yeah,
yeah.
It was,
yeah,
it was pretty cool, but if that was frozen, it would be
that'd
be crazy to see.
Yeah.
So it really is a cool trip, and like you say, the community part of it is really nice too.
And I've done this. I think like most of the times I've done this is with family. So you're talking about the history of the. For me, the train has always been about family. It's kind of what I did mostly with my dad. So it's always been kind of like a family experience, but also like get to know Canada experience.
Right.
And
it's cool too, like the history part of it. You see like the tunnels through the mountains.
Yes.
And remembering how those were made and sort of what that means and everything.
Yeah.
And this, just the difficulties associated with that.
Yeah.
And there's all sorts of significance to that. It's a remarkable story. So.
Well, and the massive push to get it done kind of almost no matter what, so we could get that transcontinental, so we could hold the country together.
Yeah.
In a way, so
it's pretty cool. So, so go ahead, promote yourself and what you do as an artist, and send people your way.
Okay, my name is Robin Lambert. I'm a visual artist from Red Deer, Alberta, and you can check out my stuff at robinlambert.ca.
There you go. And also, if you're going to Red Deer College,
I teach at Red Deer College, I got a few pieces up this summer all over Red Deer. So.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Terrific. Thanks for doing this.
Thanks a lot.
And now we are somewhere in between Winnipeg and Saskatoon. I think we're in Manitoba right now, but I'm not entirely sure. And we're here with Joshua Smith. Welcome to the podcast.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Hey, my pleasure. So what you're doing is actually kind of cool because you're here playing music.
I am. Yeah. I'm traveling across Canada with Via Rail and performing along the way and playing music for my meals.
So it's an interesting system that they have set up, and it was called Tracks for Tracks.
Yes.
And you submit basically an audition tape, and you get to ride the rails, play music, and see the country.
Yeah, it's a beautiful way for independent artists to get across the giant place that is Canada for free, basically. And you get to meet new people and share your music, and it's really great.
And where are you going?
My end trip is Halifax, Nova Scotia, my hometown. So I'm living in Kelowna, BC right now, but I was born and raised in Halifax. So.
Okay, so you're doing, and you got on in Vancouver, because you were introduced to those of us who got on in Vancouver, on the patio.
Yeah.
And you just started to play and said, I'm Josh, I'm going to be playing throughout the trip.
Yeah.
And there you go. And you started playing. And one of the first songs you played was Sweet Baby James.
Yes.
And when you played that, I knew things were going to go well.
I got it.
Yeah.
Because that's one of my favorite songs.
Yeah.
So you're doing Vancouver, Toronto, and then Toronto, Montreal, mm-hmm. Montreal, Halifax.
Yeah.
And you're going to have to play everywhere? The Montreal-Toronto train might be tough.
Yeah. No, I'm not going to play on that one. It's just more just kind of like a taxi to Montreal, right. And then Montreal to Halifax. I'll be playing there. So, yeah.
And how would you describe your style? And why do you think it works for this sort of a setting?
I'm very kind of singer-songwriter intimate. I call my genre East Coast soul folk. So it's kind of it's very warm and inviting. So it includes people as well. And it's just a very chill atmosphere. So I do have a full band, but it also works really well acoustic as well. So, yeah.
And is there a challenge playing on a train just like from actually playing the guitar standpoint?
It's a little bit weird. I feel like I have like vertigo or something because I'm just kind of falling all over the place. But yeah. It's fun. Like yeah. I think it's like any kind of if you do street busking, it's the same kind of thing. You know, right. You just have to project a bit more. But it's okay. It's really fun.
Yeah. And now for you as a musician, as a sort of a folk musician too. I mean, is there a certain element of the train that? You know, because there is this history to the train in this country, and mm-hmm. there's this idea of romance and binding the country together. And does that have any significance to you? And are you aware of that while you're playing?
Yeah, I think there's like a mystique about it. I think there's a mystery to it. You know, every folk singer needs to ride a train at least once in his life. I always say, but yeah, I think there's. I think it's just the unknown and traveling to new places and being a traveling minstrel kind of mindset. So it's, I'm really excited to do it. I've never done it before, so it's charting uncharted territory. So
are you writing as you go then? You're writing your train song?
Yeah, I write every day. So I try to write a song every day.
Yeah. Wow. Ambitious.
Yeah, so I do. I mean, they're not all gems, but it's just to get into the discipline of writing, I guess.
Right.
But I do, hopefully someday I'll have a song about a train. Not yet, but yeah.
Now, if you had to sum up sort of this particular trip, the cross-country trip, and I know it's your first time, and we're only barely halfway across the country. But, I mean, to you, what does it mean to travel this way across the country?
I think it's the word pure kind of comes to mind. I really like... it's organic, it's very raw, like it's, for the most part, there's no wireless, so you're kind of cut off from a lot of the checking your phone and
which I really
emails.
Like.
Yeah, which is nice just to turn everything off. Yeah, and then you're forced to meet new people and talk to new people, and I really like that, and it's, in a really fast-paced world, it's nice just to go across, saunter across Canada on a train, just nice and slow. So it's nice.
And what has the reception been so far from some of the other passengers?
Great. Yeah, people really, really have enjoyed my music, so it's really good. And I'm a personable person too, so I like to talk to people as well. Right. So it's not like the awkward indie emo kind of music guy that sits in the corner and doesn't talk to anyone kind of thing. So I really enjoy building relationships. So yeah.
And what do you think of like the community? It's weird. It's almost like a community is built on the train.
Yeah.
With the full understanding that once you get off the train, there's a very good chance you're not going to see a lot of these people ever again.
Yeah.
But it's weird that there's this almost camaraderie.
Yeah.
While you're on the train, it's really weird. And I don't know. Is that helpful to you? In because I mean, a lot of what a musician does is you have to sort of play to the audience that's there.
Yeah.
So does that make it easier for you, sort of getting a sense of who these people are and why they're traveling?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think it's so far it just feels like it's kind of like a. I don't know, when you go away to summer camp and you're stuck with these people for a long period of time, and then once they leave you don't see them again for a long time. So it's great, and then you get to know each other and get to know each other's journeys, and so it's really cool.
Alright, now if people want to find out more about you, where do they go? What should they do?
www.joshuasmithtunes.com.
Alright.
And also I'm on iTunes. I'm just doing my Cross Canada Via Rail tour, recording a new album, hopefully coming out in October.
Nice.
Pick up my EP, Songs for Ellie, on iTunes, or Bandcamp, I guess.
Yeah.
And that's about it.
All right, and Ellie is your guitar.
Yes, Ellie is my old guitar. So.
Yeah, tell the story of the guitar.
My guitar, I walked into a pawn shop a few years ago and saw Ellie hanging on the wall, and I thought to myself, I thought it looked cool. Like, first of all, I was like, oh, this is neat. It was really beat up and pretty old, and didn't play that well, but I really liked the tone of it. So I thought, well, if I could just bring it to a luthier and have him fix it up and make it sound really great, and so I did, and it's, of course, it sounded amazing, and I was just inspired by the guitar to write an EP worth of songs. So like through the year, like the year that I bought it, I was going, I went through a lot of loss and stuff in my life, and so that guitar was kind of a nice little gift to myself to inspire me to write more. So
cool stuff. And yeah. You just played a bunch of the songs from that album. Really good, really good sounding, and really cool. I like folk music because it tells a story.
Yeah.
At the same time, it was really cool. So I encourage people to check it out. JoshuaSmith.com.
Yes. JoshuaSmithTunes.
Tunes.com.
Yes.
All right. Yeah. Terrific. Thanks a lot for doing this.
You're very welcome.
Now, up next on the show, we have Sally and Ed Williford from Brookhaven, Mississippi. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for doing this. So you're here. Part of this is celebrating your 56th wedding anniversary. Congratulations.
Thanks.
So what made you want to do a cross-country train trip? Because I'm wondering, for two folks from Mississippi, you mentioned this is something that you always wanted to do. How did two folks from Mississippi get the idea of wanting to do a cross-country train trip in Canada?
I'm not sure. I went across the United States with my mother 20 years ago or more and enjoyed it, and it, perhaps because we're older, a train trip suits us better so that we're not having to do a lot of planning or expending a lot of energy.
Mm-hmm.
And we just knew that we would like this.
Right.
And it's been wonderful.
We have a good friend back at home who's a Presbyterian preacher, and his hobby with his wife is taking train trips.
Okay.
So every vacation he'll take a long train trip, and he's shared that with groups we heard, and that got us interested also. And back at our 25th anniversary, between jobs, we took an 8-week period and toured Europe as kind of older backpackers.
Okay.
And had a good time. We had train passes on the continent and through the British Isles, and we spent a little over 8 weeks on the train traveling anywhere we wanted to. So we have that idea.
And we should say too, because we're heading east right now, you headed west about a week ago? A little more than a week ago?
Yes. Our whole trip, well, counting the time from Mississippi and back, driving back, will be almost 3 weeks.
And because you went to see your family in Seattle?
We went to see our son in Seattle and spent about 5 days with him, and then we were on the train going and coming each 4 nights and 3 days. So,
and we drove from our home up to Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
And it took us about 2 days to get there, and we drove straight up, but going home, we're going to visit relatives and friends. Take about 4 days.
Nice.
Going home, but we'll get home next Friday, and we'll just have had a great trip. Everything about it's been good. We've had beautiful weather, and every sight we've seen has been fun. We've had a great visit with our son on his birthday, and he took time off and was a good tour guide around Seattle.
Yes, it's, you wouldn't expect to have great weather for in the Pacific Northwest for that long.
It has been perfect. It only rained a little bit today on the train.
Yeah.
That's the only time we've seen rain.
Mm-hmm.
But also, we will get back just in time on Friday before Father's Day and also his 80th birthday.
Oh, wow. Very nice.
So,
every 7 years. It's on Father's Day, and this is the 7th year.
On a 7th year of Father's Day and a big birthday, round numbers, that's terrific.
Yeah.
Now, this is your first trip into Canada, was it?
No, well, I had been on a trip with my daughter up into one of those islands above the San Juan Islands, but I had been through Victoria and had been back through Vancouver, but had not spent any time in Canada. No, not really.
We but then about 20 years ago, we took a motor trip up through Nova Scotia.
Oh, that's right.
And we were interested in Anne of Green Gables. So
okay.
We went to see her home.
Nice. Nice.
And Prince Edward Island.
Yeah.
And so that was our the trip into Canada.
Okay. And but for this trip, so this is a new part of Canada then that you're seeing. Is the East Coast is obviously different from the prairies and the West Coast. What were your expectations coming up, you know, when you boarded the train last week in Toronto?
Well, I knew that it was going to be three different types of scenery.
Uh-huh.
And I was not looking forward to the plains very much.
Okay.
Because the flat area in the Dakotas in America, I thought was pretty boring. But this wasn't.
Yeah.
Because you did see some things, cows and beautiful black earth.
Mm-hmm.
And some grass growing and some houses and barns and things of that sort.
Yeah.
So it was and not and it did have some trees.
Yes.
Which,
and there's grain elevators along the way. And,
right. There are things to see.
Yeah. And there's nothing to block your view.
No. and to see all that open space is, that's a fun thing.
Yeah.
Could not have believe how much water there was.
Yes. Yeah.
Everywhere we looked, there was another lake and another lake and another lake. And that was pretty. Then we saw the beautiful waterfall from the train and the high mountains, the snow-capped mountains. Mm. And our son had spent a couple of seasons working on Mount Rainier.
Okay.
And we had driven up there 7-8 years ago and visited him briefly. But while in Seattle, we just had beautiful, clear views of Mount Rainier. We couldn't believe it.
In terms of the people, what I
won't tell you about the people before she does. We didn't know what to really think about Canadian people. We live in the deep south where people always speak and are friendly and try to be courteous, and that's not true everywhere in the U.S.
Mm.
But when we got to Canada, we were on a subway after we left our motel, headed to the train station. And it was crowded, and we don't feel so old, but you can look at us and tell we're older. We're senior citizens. We got on the subway. The first thing, a younger man got up and asked me to take his seat.
Mm.
I didn't want to do it, but he wanted me to, so I did. Turned around, and a younger lady got up and asked her to take her seat. So we were very surprised at that. Then I was pulling out suitcases, which were on wheels, it wasn't all that bad, into the train station, and a young lady stopped and said, "Sir, may I help you with that suitcase?" We were so impressed.
Mm.
Every contact we've had with Canadian people has just been a blessing.
Mm.
And I have felt, I don't know that I expect what I expected. I hadn't really thought about how the Canadian people would be, but to me they're more like Southern people than I expected. And someone suggested that because they're less people, they're more scattered, people are more relaxed and don't have strict schedules and things, which in the South that's more, people are more relaxed.
Right.
And I found the Canadians were similar, and that was fun.
Did either of you, before you got on the train, had a sense of the history of it to Canada? Because, you know, when it was first built, the idea of a transcontinental railroad in Canada was part of a wider nation-building project in the late 1800s. And so there's this romance to the train for Canadians that's part of, because it's so much a part of our heritage. Was there an awareness on your part of the significance of that, or was it more for you just seeing the countryside and doing a trip that's something you always wanted to do?
No, I think it embarrasses me to think how little I have known about Canadian history, train, or anything else. And I just knew it was going to be a beautiful trip and a relaxing and pleasant trip.
Mm.
But it really has been far and a better above anything that I thought it would be. The food on the train has been outstanding.
Yes.
The servers have been gone above and beyond what they might have done, yeah. And it's just been very, very pleasant.
And in visiting with a Canadian man we'd met on the trip, and we were talking about Canada and its resources and population, and he told us that there were only a little over 30 million people yeah. in all of Canada. I cannot believe that. Only 300 million in the U.S. Yeah. And we talked about government, but how different our governments are, and we were impressed with Canada, the size of it. It's not as nearly as population-wise as big as we thought. Yeah. Area-wise, huge.
Yes. A lot of space, not a lot of people to fill it. And now, as we sit here, we're in Winnipeg, Manitoba right now. There's a little bit of a layover as the crew changes, and we sit, and I went out and I walked around, and I saw the Forks, where the Assiniboine and the Red Rivers meet, and they're building the new Canadian Museum of Human Rights, and that's currently under construction, so I saw that. What has been your favorite, if I'm going to twist your arm a little bit, what has been your favorite part, or maybe favorite location that you've seen while you've been here?
And we did take a bus tour of Winnipeg on the way over, and she'll tell you about that.
It was so well done, and we did learn more about the history of the area uh-huh. and about the story, the real story of Winnie the Pooh, yeah. and I love that. And that was interesting. I think the biggest pleasant surprise kind of was Jasper. What a sweet little old town
yeah.
that is. And we had scones and tea there and, you know, ate lunch. And that was fun seeing
yeah.
it.
I think it's a take-your-breath-away town,
I think.
It really is. Mm-hmm. And so when you go back to Mississippi, when people ask you how was the trip, like if you had to sum it up in one word, like what are you gonna tell all your friends?
It's just tremendous.
Yeah. More than one word, I'd say better than expected. Mm.
There's just nothing negative about it, and you can't take a nearly a 3-week trip and not have some problem. So far, we have not experienced anything in that nature.
And even sleeping in the top bunk was not a bad experience.
Well, it's nice. You get to rock a little bit, and it's relaxing. It's great. So I'm so happy that you've had a good time. And congratulations, 56th wedding anniversary, and happy birthday on Sunday.
You get to share your table with us at the train station in Vancouver. That's how we met.
That's right, yes. We were sitting there, and I had a couple. I was sitting by myself, and came up, and we started chatting, and it was a beautiful thing. Well, thank you so much for doing this. That's Sally and Ed Williford from Brookhaven, Mississippi. Thank you so much.
Good, thank you.
We enjoyed it.
Okay, and as we continue to sit here in Winnipeg, waiting to move again, we're joined by Chris Collis from Dorchester, England. Welcome to the podcast. Collis. To offend all of our French-Canadian listeners. Welcome to the podcast. Thanks for doing this.
Thank you very much.
So you got on in Vancouver.
I did,
with me, and we happened to be sitting across from each other and sleeping 5 feet
above
each other, which is not as awkward as that might sound.
No, that's all fine.
But so what are you traveling for? What's the purpose of your trip?
I am traveling just for a bit of a break after being on tour for 6 weeks. Kind of tacked this month of holiday on to the end of a bit of work that I was doing in a band. And as I had no kind of time constraints, I decided to take the train to see a bit more of the country than fly, which seems much more of a direct route over. So the train's been really awesome so far.
Yeah, and what did you expect getting on the train?
Probably something that's kind of similar to the experience, actually. I did a bit of research about it first, so watched, actually, I think they have like a video of someone like traveling on the train, and videoing it from their point of view. So I watched that, read a few reviews and stuff, and it's been pretty similar. Like, lots of relaxation time and amazing views and stuff, so it's kind of a bit of, like, a bit of time to, not have any internet and reflect, do some reading, and just have a bit of time on your own, really, which is nice.
Yeah, that is nice. Yeah. Like, the no internet is a big thing.
Yeah,
I think they should promote it.
Yeah, because you don't really get that kind of retreat from society, I think, very much in everyday life. Like, the internet's always there and people are always on their phones and stuff, and
As Josh sits on his phone, who we talked to earlier on the podcast.
That's true.
Yeah.
So it's nice to be kind of disconnected from all of that and meet some other people who you wouldn't necessarily be speaking to. So, like, with the kind of seating arrangement for dining and stuff, mm-hmm. you're kind of seated with people that, like, you know, Josh was saying earlier, you probably would choose to sit on your own and have dinner rather than sit with some older people. But it's been really interesting to kind of be involved in that kind of thing. So it opens you up to some new experiences for sure.
Yeah, because, well, for me too, I expected an older clientele.
Yeah, I think
I was surprised there's so many young people here.
Yeah, yeah. And yeah, I expected a lot of kind of people doing this for the journey. Didn't expect to see very many people who are traveling on their own, but there seem to be quite a few who are taking this as alternative travel than flying and stuff, and wanting a bit more time to like reflect and not just get there and do some other stuff, like, you know, take some days off to enjoy the actual process of getting somewhere new. So.
In Britain, and I think in Europe in general, I think the train is seen differently from the way it is seen here.
Yeah.
So I'm just wondering how the experience on a train in Canada would differ from a European train.
Okay, so in England specifically, the train is seen as just a way of getting to work, I suppose, and back home as quick as possible, without talking to anyone at all. And so you will sit on your own, you are like going to go to sleep, or you're going to do something else, read a book, or like be non-engaging with anyone else. Here, it's very much more open. Like, people are interested in speaking to you and like finding out about you and things. Europe might be slightly different. I think the infrastructure for rail is a lot better. People kind of use it for commuting and for getting around a bit more. England is not great. You will be surrounded by people who are very unhappy and want to get home as quick as possible without any kind of speaking to anyone else. So this is like the opposite of that.
Yeah. Well, in all fairness, the train, because you're going to Montreal.
Yeah.
The train between Toronto and Montreal, you will get some of that.
Okay. Yeah, I see.
You'll get some more business travelers, because this is more of just a leisure train.
Yeah, for sure, yeah.
And a vacation train.
Yeah.
You'll get some of that on the train. And the trains in and around Toronto, commuter trains, you'll get that. And,
okay.
That's what I'm going to take home when I get to Toronto, and I will go into my bubble and I'll put my earphones in and I won't talk to anybody.
Yeah.
I'll fit in nicely.
Well, this is certainly a nice escape from that, yeah. So it's very different for me, like, the way that I take trains at home, people kind of seem to get freaked out if you like look at them or smile at them, like trying to be friendly and stuff and start a conversation. They will be like, "Whoa, wait, this guy's mental! Like, why is he trying to start a conversation?" kind of thing. But here, it's everyone has time and very friendly and stuff. So it's very different.
Now, when you got on the train in Vancouver, how aware were you, if at all, of its significance in Canadian history as a nation building device, if at all?
I was slightly aware, but purely from computer games.
Oh.
So I used to play a computer game a long time ago when I was young, which was basically about building a rail network from one side of Canada and America to the other.
Okay.
And from that, actually was quite a good learning device about the history of the railroad and stuff. But other than that, I had no understanding until I saw half of the film that they showed today, which was about the rail network in the 1950s.
Yeah.
Which was pretty good. So.
Yeah, that was interesting. I saw part of that. It was an interesting... I thought it was interesting that they were showing it, because it was like a promotional film from the 1950s.
Yeah, exactly. So it was kind of... Yeah, it was interesting. But it was nice to see, like... It was nice to see it from that perspective, for sure, yeah.
And do you have any highlights so far of stuff you've seen?
I mean, everyone's going to say, but like going through the Rockies was a highlight, obviously, just because we don't have anything like that in England, really, where you can be that close to mountains and rivers and forests and things and actually be traveling through it at a pace where you can actually take in, the surroundings and have time to reflect on kind of like bigger things, I suppose. Yeah, it's been very good.
And do you think that being able to, because like you said, I mean, if you were to fly, you can see the mountains from a plane. I mean, they're mountains, but
yeah.
You
don't get the same sense of being actually immersed in that environment. I think flying is fine. You're like, oh, that's cool, we're flying over some mountains kind of thing, and not think anything more of it. Mm-hmm. But when you're actually like on the side of the mountain and spending days going through it,
yeah,
it makes you feel a lot more humble as to the size of the country and kind of the vastness of these things, really.
Mm-hmm. And you get to see sort of the diversity of the landscape.
Yeah, for sure, as well. Like going from the mountains to the plains and things, and there's nothing you really think about when you're, just thinking about Canada, that there's this diversity of landscape across the whole country. So it's been very interesting, to take the train this way. So. Mm.
Now, you mentioned you were touring with your band.
Yeah.
The band is called TTNG.
That's right, yeah.
What sort of music?
It's classed as math rock, which is kind of a niche, a little niche thing that not many people have heard of. I kind of just call it an indie band.
Right.
So it's just kind of like guitar, bass, drums, but we use like different time signatures and things. So yeah, not many kind of four beats to a bar things, a bit more diverse.
All right, if people want to find you, where do they do that?
They can, just type it into Google or Facebook or anything like that. So it's all right.
And TTNG is the actual letters,
TTNG. Right, just the letters. Yeah.
All right, terrific. I appreciate it.
Cool. Thank you very much.
All right, Chris Collis from Dorchester, England, on the train here in Winnipeg.
Thanks.
So now as we sit here waiting to move again somewhere in northern Ontario, northwestern Ontario. I have no idea exactly where we are. We were talking with Gay Casey from Darwin in Australia. Welcome to the podcast.
Oh, thank you. I just love train journeys sort of thing. Since I was a small child, when we used to go on holidays down south doing like Sydney to Melbourne, Melbourne to Adelaide, and coming up through the centre on the old GANs sort of thing, which is a famous train.
Mm-hmm.
And I have done the Trans-Siberian one as well. From St. Petersburg through to Beijing. And I wanted to see Canada, and to me it just made sense to take the train trip across.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been more than impressed. It is the most loveliest train I've been on a long trip, having been on them in Vietnam and China, which have a lot to be decided, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, and I never expect the food to be the high standard that it is.
And you come from, you did an Alaskan cruise before.
I came into Vancouver, had 3 days in Vancouver, did what they call the inside 7-day passage up to Anchorage, and a 7-day tour through Alaska, Fairbanks, and Denali Park, then flew back to Vancouver and got on the train. Yes. I have 2 days in Toronto, 3 in Montreal, 4 in New York, and home.
Yeah.
Yes.
And if I twisted your arm and say a highlight of the trip, what would you pick?
I'd probably pick the food, because I never thought it'd be that as much or as such a high standard.
On your train, eh?
On the train,
I
know I read about it and planned on it, and then I've put it aside. And I'd forgotten that we were getting meals provided, sort of thing, and I just thought it'd be one or two things, that's it, small serve, take it or leave it.
Because the train has this, it's an important part of Canada, just in the history of the country, binding it together. As an Australian riding it, and is there maybe a similar story in Australia of how the trains relate to the culture in general, in the founding of the country?
No, probably more our trains were to get from a big city to a big city, or they were put up during the war years, World War II, to get the troops up and down and around about, sort of thing.
Hmm.
Yeah, they are talking in Australia doing high-speed trains, but we haven't done it, yes.
Hmm. So for you, this is more of just for the sights and a way to see the country.
The experience of the train, yes. Mm. I don't like flying, but it's a quick method to get from point A to point B.
Mm.
And I prefer trains to coaches, yes.
Right. Yeah. And has this been something you've wanted to do for a long time?
I think, yes, it was. I had to build on it. I just sort of thought, I want to go up the Inside Passage, go to Alaska, cross Canada by train, have a look at New York, go home now.
Mm.
I've got to sit down and work all this out.
Yeah.
Be as vague as that, yes.
Yes, the logistics are the hard part.
Yeah.
Wanting to do it, I mean, it's
easy. Yeah, wanting
easy,
to do it. And there's the good old internet, so that was excellent. It's really good, to help plan.
So when you go home and people ask you about this, it's particularly the train part, what
How are you going to describe it in like a sentence? How are you going to sum it up for folks?
I was going to say it was wonderful and comfortable, great scenery, excellent food, and a comfortable bed sort of thing. Yeah, very comfortable bed, yeah.
Terrific. Thank you so much. All right, and as we are now moving again here in Northern Ontario with Lillian Cargill from Capriol, Ontario. Welcome to the podcast.
Oh, thank you.
So you have an interesting story because not only are you here riding the train, but you, your family has had a long connection with the railroad.
That's right.
You just want to describe what that connection has been.
Well, my husband came over from Scotland, and he was looking for a job, and he was driving, and he stopped and went into a home, and it was the home of one of the bosses from CN. He didn't know that. And while he was there, the gentleman said, "Oh, you're looking for a job?" He said, "Oh." He said, "Well, we need people on the CN." And he said, "Oh, I never thought of that." He said, "All right." He said, "The thing is, I've got two other chums that are with me. Can they get a job too?" And he said, "Yes, but you have to go to Toronto and sit exams." So he said, "Oh, no trouble." So anyway, that's how he became on the CN.
Yeah.
You know? And then, of course, we were married in Scotland, but I came to Canada. And I said, okay, we'll live in Canada then, because we were trying to make up our mind. Anyway, I did come, and he said, "Well, what do you think?" And I said, "Well, that's okay. You're working for CN now. That's good."
And when was that?
That was in 1956.
Okay.
Right.
So just after these cars were built.
We've been here ever since.
Yeah.
And he started in Barry. That's where he was working. And then we had to move to, where did he move? Oh, Horn Payne. We were 11 years in Horn Payne.
Okay.
And then by that time we had a family. And then we moved down to Capriol. Some people call it Capriol. And I didn't know how to pronounce it because one person told me Capriol and another told me Capriol. So I stuck with Capriol.
Yeah. So, whatever works, right?
You know, yeah. So then the problem was I have two daughters and two sons. And they decided my sons wanted to do what their dad done. They wanted to be engineers on the CN. Mm-hmm. So I couldn't get them to go to college or anything like that. They got a job with the CN. So my oldest son still works for the CN. My other son now works down in Toronto, but he's not with the CN now. He did. He went to Edmonton and worked there, but he was getting laid off all the time. And he came home and decided, I have to look for another job. So he's ended up, he's down in Toronto somewhere. My daughter also worked for CN. Both of them.
Right.
They both worked in Capriol in the head office. They worked there. And then when they got married, then they split up. And one of them, she quit altogether, Donna Lynn. But Shauna, she went out. She worked away and then she went out to Winnipeg.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she moved to Winnipeg. And then she transferred to Edmonton. And this is her. This week, she'll be retiring.
Right.
Tuesday.
Which is okay? Tomorrow.
Yeah. Right, that's right. Good.
So, given that your family has had this really strong connection with the railroad,
mm-hmm.
you know, what does it mean to you to be riding this train?
I love the train. I enjoy it. Anytime we've came on the trains here, we found everybody was really nice. It was a good way to go for a little change and a holiday. We find people were so nice on the train, and we enjoy it.
And
I've been looking forward to coming back again. My husband and I were going to come, but it ends up that I had decided to come myself because my husband is no longer here. Okay.
And last question. Living in communities like Capriol and Horn Payne, which are very much railroad communities.
I loved it.
Yeah.
I loved Horn Payne. I didn't even want to move out of there. It was like one big family. Everybody was so nice. I'm not kidding you. And you know, there was other people living there, and we used to go to the dump and dump stuff, the young Indian people, and they were so glad. Oh, you don't need that, that's great, we'll have it. And so we helped people in Horn Pain, and as well as we got together about helping them to get a hospital there. And that was years ago. However, then we moved to Capriol, and everything's been great. The people in Capriol are super.
Yeah.
And very good people.
Yes.
Yeah.
So there's a nice community that surrounds the train.
Pardon?
There's a nice community that surrounds the trains in general, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They're, most of them are like, they work in CN, if not. You know, some are retired, and they just stay in Capriol. You know, so we love it.
Terrific. Thank you so much for doing
you're
this.
You're welcome.
And now as we sit just east of Horn Pain, Ontario, which is a lovely town, and from what I can tell, about 10 people and 10 million black flies. That was my impression of the town. We have Runa Simpson and Mitch Gibson here from Aberdeen, Scotland. Welcome.
Hi. Pleased to meet you.
So you're here on a bit of a roundabout trip. You didn't just come for the train. So just describe a little bit about what you've done before you got to Vancouver.
Initially, we flew in from UK to Las Vegas. I spent two nights in Las Vegas, which was an interesting experience. Didn't do any gambling. And then hired a car and did seven national parks and canyons. Grand Canyon, Bryce, Zion, Death Valley, Monument Valley. Absolutely out of this world. Far more diverse and unique than we expected. Mm-hmm. Yes, so that was really interesting.
The whole experience, the parks, and then moving through to San Francisco, which we also found very interesting, was a great experience. Mm-hmm. The whole holiday.
Now, how would you compare some of the sites then in the south through to like the Rockies? Because a lot of the, you know, externally it seems like it could be a lot of the same, a lot of rock faces and all this stuff. So how would you compare the Rockies to the south?
Totally different, I'd say, altogether. I mean, coming from Scotland, we're used to the greenery and the mountains, but they're on a far greater scale, and a very, very impressive scale as well.
Yeah.
Yes, and they cover a larger range than in our country as well. Although we have very similar sort of environments and locations and layouts, it is larger, and it's I think it's very, as the train winds its way through the mountains, it's quite something quite sort of relaxing and quite unique about the whole experience. And the pictures are just wonderful. Excellent pictures.
And what was the draw to the train doing the cross country thing in Canada? What was the, because I'm always curious as to why people, especially from abroad, want to do this trip.
I think it was the ability initially of being able to cover Canada coast to coast in such a short time.
Right.
And cover so much from Vancouver, as you say, through the Rockies, prairies, and the initial and inevitably the East Coast.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think it's such to capture, encapsulate how the diversity of the country and how the layout and locations sort of diversify and change as you move across the country. So we use that as a sort of a base, so for hoping to return in the future to explore areas more fully in the future.
And what have you noticed in this progression then as we've moved east?
From a train, just a change of everything, you know, change of people, change of culture, change of scenery.
Yeah.
You know, we've gone from the big Rockies and the trees, so many trees, the flatlands.
Yeah.
And we're now back into tree country.
Mm-hmm.
Although different.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Northern Ontario, rocks and trees. It's a Northern Ontario shield. That's what we got. Rocks and trees.
Rocks and trees.
Yeah. And has there been anything that's really stood out along the way?
I think the train experience itself has been amazing, because I never expected so much from the train journey, and it's been, we've met so many wonderful people from all over the world. The staff have been excellent. There's been entertainment, the food has been superb. I can't fault, the whole setup.
Yeah, it's been quite an experience, and to spend 4 days on a train, and go through it all, has been quite exciting, really. Mm.
Do you get the sense that you're doing something historic?
I think we first saw the train, how the train became used by this nation, how we went to Alaska, and how it really got people up there. And then when you come down to Canada, you can see how it's transported people slowly east to west.
Right.
As the nations began to expand.
Yeah, and what struck me was the iconic aspect of the train, because it was built in the 50s initially, and they've kept the tradition of how it looks, with all set up in the aluminium, and it's good that they haven't modernised it too much.
Yeah.
It's very, which I feel is quite retro as well, and I think that's added to the uniqueness of it.
Yeah, I was saying to someone yesterday, and maybe even today, I can't remember, days all mixed together now, but that I think they should promote the fact that there's no Wi-Fi, and that for a lot of the trip you're out of cell range. I like it.
Yes.
It's just out of touch, and just you're just here, and it's really nice. And because you watched the, I noticed you watched the video yesterday in the other car, but the history of the train. So does that add something to the experience then, knowing, like seeing these shots from the 50s of, you know, people in suits and ties getting on and preparing for this journey? Does that add something to the experience for you?
It took us back.
Yeah.
It certainly took me back to, you know, earlier days, and I could relate to it.
Right.
Yeah, it was quite an experience then, and it's an experience now.
Yeah.
And you could see that for the people, the Canadian people themselves, it was quite an iconic sort of activity and a experience for them as well.
Yeah. Yeah. And so once we get to Toronto, the rest of your plan is what? Because you're heading further east now.
I'm heading further east, and we're doing four cities. We're doing Montreal, Ottawa,
Quebec.
Yeah,
and then back to Montreal, I believe, and then flying out from there.
Wow.
So still a bit to go.
Yes,
but 10 days to complete our journey, which has taken us 6 weeks.
Yeah. Yes. So you'll be when time comes, you'll be excited to go home. I'm sure. Yeah.
So much to tell people and explain. But yet, as Rona was saying, you know, come back to.
Yes. Right.
We could come back to and expand on particular parts that we really, really enjoy. Mm-hmm.
And if you had to sum, when you go home and people ask you, I think I've asked everybody this, you know, if you had to put in a word or a sentence, what would you say?
It's just such a broad, wide-based country with a so much diversity in it, and it has something for everyone.
Mm.
Yeah, whether it's the big cities, whether it's the prairie lands, whether it's the Rockies, there's just, you know, it is.
Two words, fantastic experience.
Mm. Mm. I think that sums it up nicely.
Thank you.
Yeah, terrific. So that's Rona Simpson and Mitch Gibson from Aberdeen. Safe travels the rest of the way.
Thank you.
All right, and now we are here with Ken and Tammy Burgess from Vernon, British Columbia, traveling to Toronto to get to Stratford, Ontario to go to the Stratford Festival.
Yes.
Welcome to the podcast. Thanks for doing this.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
We're most happy.
You know, so you got on in Vancouver.
That is true.
And we're traveling across the country. And why did you pick the train to go east?
It's something we've always talked about doing for the last 10 or 15 years. We've talked about it and just decided it was time to do it. So we did.
Yeah.
And Tammy, you said, like me, that you don't like to fly.
I definitely don't like to fly. I don't like to sit in one tiny little seat, cramped in, squeezed to the point of immobility when you have to get out.
So, and now as we travel through Northern Ontario here, and we get closer to Toronto, just, you know, a chance maybe to reflect a little bit on the trip. What's it been like?
I was saying to Ken earlier that it has more than lived up to my expectations of what I expected it to be. Part of it is we did have the smarts to book a room that gave us some space, and it's been everything we thought. We could sit here, enjoy the scenery, relax, and we have a little room to move, walk around. It's been wonderful, really.
I don't have a lot to add to that. It's I've seen some, even the country we've driven through before, you get a different perspective of it. And we've really
really enjoyed it. It's been wonderful. We've got, what, a couple more hours of daylight, and then we're asleep until we get to where we're going. But it's been a wonderful experience.
And for anyone who is curious, how exactly did you manage to get the room in the park car?
Okay, well, part of the reason was I talked to friends at the church, and they traveled, and he refuses to fly, of this couple, and so they took the train, which really got us started to talk. And I said to her, so how was it before, because we're going to finally do what we wanted to do. And she said, well, you don't want a room with an upper and lower berth, because most of them are upper and lower. Mm-hmm. And just, well, I'm just not going to be climbing to an upper berth.
Right.
And Ken would prefer not to.
Sure.
So when we went to the travel agent, who actually did not know anything, I said, we want a room that has two lower berths. How do we do that? She had to phone Via Rail, and this is the only way to do it.
Oh, okay.
A room for three. It's a room for three, and we're just... got the two lower berths. There's another one up there, and they don't set it up.
Right.
So we have two lowers, and during the day we got this nice couch.
Yes, it's beautiful in here.
But the luck of the draw was that we got the park car, because I gather there are other three rooms that are in other cars. Mm-hmm. There's only one per car.
Right.
And I mean, you're going to pay for three, even though you're two, right?
Yes.
But still. It was worth every minute, because we decided we weren't using it for transportation. We were using it like a cruise.
Right.
So this is like a cruise for us, so it might as well be comfortable and enjoyable.
The experience out of it.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Now, as Western, living in the West, I'm curious if your perception of the train may be different, because, I mean, living in Ottawa, I take the train a lot, going between Toronto, Ottawa and Montreal. I have family in both Toronto and Montreal, so the train for me is sort of more of a regular thing, especially for VIA, because the VIA only runs on the one route into Western Canada. So I'm wondering, what is the perception of the train in the West? Is it seen now as, like you were saying, a way to relax, sort of a vacation, or is it still seen as this really vital part of Canada, an economic instrument to link the country together, east-west?
No, I would say every time I told someone I was taking the train, the first thing most people said to me was, isn't that awfully expensive? That was the first thing they said. Mm-hmm. Because for us to travel like this, from it is more expensive than getting on a plane and flying.
Yes.
Absolutely. And it's certainly more expensive than a bus. More comfortable? Yes. So we had no illusions that we were using this for transportation. We were using it because we wanted the experience and we wanted to travel.
I don't think that people look on train travel in Western Canada as
viable
transportation.
Right.
It's, as my wife said, it's more of a cruise experience. I'm well aware that in the East they'd have commuter trains, where in BC there is one small commuter train in the Lower Mainland, but this particular type of train is not normally looked on as transportation, as the quickest and easiest way to get from A to B.
Right.
So in general, though, the trip, like, you just
it's been it, wonderful. Yeah. It has been wonderful. We've totally enjoyed it. We're now talking about maybe trying to work out a way to do it the other way, so we see the parts that we slept through.
That'll be a few years down the road.
Well, enjoy yourselves in Stratford. Have a terrific time.
Oh, that we are looking forward to.
Yes, and thank you so much for doing this.
You're welcome. Yeah.
And finally, last person on the podcast, our train extravaganza, as we continue to travel somewhere in Northern Ontario. Devin Andrews, senior service attendant back here in the park car. How are you?
Hi, I'm pretty good. How are you?
Doing well. Thanks for doing this.
No problem.
So this is your second year.
Yep.
Working on the train.
Yeah.
Going all over the place. Just what's that experience like?
It's interesting. Like, I definitely love it. Like, first season was great. I got to go all across Canada, so you get to see a variety of the countryside. You get to see all of the western part of Canada and then the eastern part, so it's really interesting, and the variety of people on board is pretty intense too, so that's fun.
Yes, we've seen it. I've seen a couple of examples of that in the past 2 days, and we won't tell any stories, but it's been fun.
Very interesting.
Yeah, yeah. So do you have a specific route that you prefer? Because you mentioned that you can go either, because you're based in Winnipeg.
Yeah.
So you can go either west or east from Winnipeg, mm-hmm. or north, if you're so inclined to go north.
Yeah.
Do you have a preferred route that you like?
Preferred route? Well, they all have certain things that I like about them, but probably Vancouver. I like going western.
Yeah.
So you get a one-day layover, and then you get to see all of Vancouver. You get to go climb mountains. You get to go to the beach. It has just a great variety of things to do there. So.
So you actually have time to do that.
I have time to do something. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Whereas in Toronto, you're just in and out, right?
Toronto's about 8 hours if you're on schedule, so you get enough time to take a quick shower and have a sleep there before you get back to work.
Mm. And so what are your days like on the train? Because it's not like you can go home, right? You're sort of stuck.
Yep, you're definitely stuck on board. The days are long, but they're fulfilled with, like, you have duties to fulfill throughout the day. So in the morning, it's more hectic depending on what job you have. Like right now I'm in Parkar, so it's like taking care of bedrooms and serving coffees and your alcohol beverages after 11 o'clock. So it can get really busy back here. But usually, like, the day plays out really well. You talk to people, your day goes by faster, and you have things to do always. So it goes by quick, but they're long days.
Yeah. Do you have anything that you... Is there... Because we were talking earlier that there's... You show up before the trip, and you don't know exactly what you're going to be doing. So you're sort of surprised.
Oh, definitely. Like, when we get a call 24 hours ahead of time, so within that 24 hours, you just know where your destination is, either Toronto, Vancouver, or Churchill. And then you go in, and about 10 minutes in there, you choose a job on the spot, and then you're just put out there within half an hour, and then you do your job. But you're trained for all positions, so it's not like you need time to kind of really let that sink in and figure it out. But yeah, that's about how that goes.
And in terms of just being on the train so much, because I know, like, for me, when we stopped in Jasper the first day, like, I got off and sort of walked around, but I started feeling dizzy just because we got so used to the motion, I guess. I don't know. And does that at all happen, or do you get used to it? I mean, is it sort of like if people who work on cruise ships talk about getting their sea legs?
Yeah.
Same idea, do you get, like, your train legs?
Yeah, it definitely happens. More this year than last year, and it's pretty much I'm standing all day, so you're balancing with the train,
right?
And then when you get into a destination, it's wobbly.
Yeah. So you mentioned meeting different people from all over the world, really, who come to do this trip. Is there any pressure on you as a service attendant to build it up? Because I think a lot of people have this trip of a lifetime idea. I mean, is that create a sense on you, put more pressure on you to do your job in a certain way to fulfill these what could be maybe unrealistic expectations for some folks?
Yeah, definitely. A lot of people come from all over the world, and they're expecting, like, really good performance, good quality, good food. You know, they spend a lot of money to come on board, so you definitely want to live up to their expectations, but you're limited with what you can do on here. So definitely try to do the best you can, and, like, even if they're angry or something, you always try to accommodate or find an equilibrium that you can, like, balance out to make their trip better for them. So usually that works out in a positive attitude, and things kind of just go into place.
And what are your accommodations like on here? I know what mine are like. Do you guys get sort of stuffed into the back closet and you just sort of...
Yeah, we camp out in the back there with our sleeping bags.
That's what I figured. Stuff.
No sleeping beds for us. We actually get roomettes. So we're in, like, bedrooms because we do work 18 hours a day.
Yeah.
So we're entitled to, like, some sort of bed. Sometimes we're in berths. Sometimes we're in roomettes. And if we're lucky, we get a bedroom if the rooms aren't full. But it depends on the work count on the train. So.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah, and I will say that, to me at least, one of the hardest parts of the job would be having to wear a tie for 18 hours a day. I couldn't do that. That would be difficult. No, it's cool. I think it's cool that even though you can do this, you still sort of enjoy the process of it, because
it's definitely like something that you can look back on in your life and be like, yeah, I got to do this, you know. Yeah, it's like I don't regret it,
right? And even though if you have to be based out of Winnipeg for it,
yeah, even though
slam on Winnipeg. Yes, no, Winnipeg's a lovely city.
Yeah, it's nice. I love it in the summer. Winters are way colder than I was expecting. But
yeah, because you moved from Quebec, you said, right?
I did, yeah. I moved from Quebec, so it's a big change.
Yeah, those prairie winters, if you're not ready for them, they can
definitely cut me off guard.
All right, terrific. So that's Devin Andrews, Senior Service Attendant, here on the Canadian. Thanks for doing this.
You're welcome.
So there you have it. Bit of an inside look into what it's like to take the train across this country, and 12 different perspectives on train travel and the meaning of the train in Canadian history. So my thanks to Robin Lambert. Be sure to check out his work, robinlambert.ca, and you can also find him at the Alberta College of Art and Design, Joshua Smith, and be sure to check out his work at joshuasmithtunes.com. He's got a really good sound, so be sure to check that out. Sally and Ed Williford, Chris Collis, and you can check his stuff out at ttng.net. And actually, the band is coming back to North America through the fall. They got some shows in Western Canada in October, Eastern Canada in November, and a bunch of shows in the United States, so be sure to check them out. Lillian Cargill, Gay Casey, Rona Simpson, and Mitch Gibson, Ken and Tammy Burgess, and Devin Andrews. My thanks to everyone. If you have any questions, comments for the podcast, historyslam@gmail.com, Twitter at Dr. Shawnee Fever, and as always, if you're out and you see Enrico Palazzo, please say hi for me.
Thanks for listening to the History Slam podcast. Be sure to check out Active History for more features, articles, and be sure to subscribe on iTunes.